Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Professor Barry Shoup. And Professor Shoup is a former executive director of the NICD and Professor Emeritus of Virology at Wits University. Good afternoon, Prof. How are you?
Good afternoon, Kathy. Very well, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. I enjoyed your show this morning. I was quite riveted.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you.
Yeah, if you missed that show, you can actually go and download the podcast on highfm.com. Professor Shoup was speaking to Dr. Richard Friedland. Yeah. And I liked what you were saying about the masks and everything. I didn't know about that blow test.
Oh, right. Yeah. To see if there's an adequate barrier. It's quite a useful little test. Put your hand just about 4 to 6 inches in front of the mask, blow, and see if air's coming out. It's not adequate. But if it stops the air coming out, then it's an adequate barrier.
That's what we like, adequate barriers. Okay, so yesterday afternoon when we were speaking, a question came through for one of our listeners. Unfortunately, I can't give them any credit because they didn't sign their name. But the listener wanted to know, can infections be transmitted through the eyes? Not infections, but specifically this COVID-19 or coronavirus infection.
Yeah. No, it's a very good question because obviously it's got a practical implication because, you know, we wear face masks which protect the mouth and the nose but don't necessarily protect the eyes. If you put it over your eyes, you can't see where you're going. So, do we need eye protection? And I thought I'd deal with this in three steps.
Yeah.
First of all, what's the source of infection? If we're looking at how the infection is transmitted, where's infection come from? And I think we've discussed this in a few times. It's from these fluid particles which are generated by an infected person who's either asymptomatic or has got symptoms. When they're speaking, when they're shouting, when they're singing, when they're coughing, when they're sneezing, they generate droplets, which are the big particles, which then fall down onto a surface. They're not suspended in the air for very long. And then aerosols, which are the smaller particles, which are suspended in the air. But either of these fluid particles can then kind of be wafted over and transmitted. Now, the second step is what is being transmitted? What's the infectious agent? And the infectious agent is a virus. It's the coronavirus. Now, all viruses are actually outside the cell. They're actually inert chemicals. They're not live. So they can't move. They're not mobile. They cannot penetrate intact skin. And therefore, if they're going to establish an infection, they need to come into contact with the mucous membrane. Because the mucous membrane has got no protection outside the cell, and the virus can then attach itself, penetrate into the cell, and then establish an infection.
Okay.
So the third step then is what are the portals of entry? Where does the virus get into the body? And when we're talking about coronavirus, of course, we're talking about a respiratory infection. So it needs to get to the respiratory tract. Now, it can get to that in one of three ways. Either, of course, the most important by far is by inhaling it when we're breathing. And you must remember, with every breath we take about a half a liter of air. That's about 11,000 liters in a day. So it's a lot of air that goes into the body. And if these fluid particles are in the air, of course, you can inspire it. Then it gets onto the mucous membrane of the respiratory tract. First the upper respiratory tract and then the lower, which is the lungs. And then it can spread to the rest of the body. And that's by far the dominant way in which it gets in. But it can also get passively. In other words, the air that's outside can land up, or virus particles in the droplets can land up on the eye. And the eye is also a mucous membrane. So it can get onto the eye, infect those cells, and then the tears drain into the respiratory tract through the nasopharynx. So the tears can then convey it into the respiratory tract through that second way. And the third way, of course, is if your hands are contaminated, if you touch your mouth, your nose, and if you touch your eye, then you can, with contaminated hands, if the hands aren't washed properly and you've touched a contaminated surface, you can basically put the virus into the mucous membrane directly. So the way it can get into the eye is one of two ways. Either passively, because the eye is exposed to the outside environment, outside air, which may contain infectious droplets, and the virus can get into the eye that way and then spread down into the respiratory tract. Or alternatively, somebody's got contaminated hands, they can then, by touching their eye, inoculate it that way.
I mean, it all makes sense.
Explain it?
Absolutely, very well, actually. I mean, I was actually thinking as you were talking about the eye, if you're lying down and you put eye drops in, you can actually feel them go down the back of your throat.
Right, right.
So it's the same principle. I mean, that's where the tears naturally flow down.
Yeah. They drain into the respiratory tract, into the nasopharynx, basically,
yeah,
which is the upper respiratory tract. Yeah.
Okay. So
one doesn't normally stick a finger in the eye, you know, unless there's something wrong with you. But I mean, you know, often, you know, we do inadvertently touch the eye because it's itchy, touch the nose, touch the mouth, of course. And that's where, of course, we can, if there's fluid, that'll then transmit the virus onto the mucous membrane of the eye.
So should we be wearing eye protection?
Healthcare workers do. They wear those goggles. The actual face shields were originally designed to protect the eye. Of course, they also do protect the nose and the mouth if they're properly designed. But the original intention was actually eye protection. So if one is not wearing spectacles, which I suppose are some kind of barrier as well, and one comes into a high-risk situation, see, the eye, it's not, you know, inhaling, you're actually drawing the air into the respiratory tract.
The
particles would need to kind of passively, basically, come in contact with the eye. But if there's a high-risk situation, if there's a lot of droplets around, you know, somebody's coughing, sneezing, etc., you're in a closed environment, a closed room, then, yeah, it would be advisable to have eye protection.
Okay, well, there you go. You heard it first here. How long do you think it'll be before the World Health Organization declares that we should be covering our eyes? I'm just being facetious. Well, don't worry. Don't worry. You don't have to answer that. I'm just being facetious.
Fortunately, I'm not a member of them now. I used to advise them, but not anymore.
Yeah. Look, you don't have to comment on this, but I've been quite appalled at how long it took them to declare it a pandemic. And they seem to be very, very slow to react. You know,
they are, and they're also hesitating about whether aerosols are a way of transmitting the virus, but that'll come. They also change their minds about masks.
Yeah, exactly, remember. Exactly. It's, so, I mean, they've just made themselves pretty much irrelevant. You know,
well,
'cause what they're doing is all the wrong stuff. I mean, they're not listening to the world experts.
They are, well, you know, when I participated in their meetings, I did used to get the experts around the table. But sometimes they are a bit slow, that is true. But yeah, their recommendations sometimes are based on good, solid science.
Okay, well, possibly not in this case. The positive science is very slow, Professor, thank you so much, and I look forward to speaking to you tomorrow.
Yeah,
have a wonderful evening.
All the best.
God bless. Bye-bye.